In 2018, the Food and Drug Administration approved the HeartMate 3 as a long-term treatment for patients who were facing end-stage heart failure. This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent this morning. And this type of mechanical heart pump actually dates all the way back to the 1960s. But right now, this HeartMate 3 is the only device of its kind approved for use by the FDA. So how effective is the HeartMate 3 at extending the lives of heart patients? And why is it so hard to find a straight answer to such a life or death question? Our guest has been investigating the effectiveness of this medical device, and if you have stories to share about being a heart patient yourself, or you know somebody who has been, or if you have questions about the way we treat heart disease today, we welcome you to the conversation. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email available as well, ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Chang is a correspondent for KFF Health News, and Daniel, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Lee. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Let's start with how you came across this data. Where did it come from, and how were you able to use it to assess the effectiveness of this HeartMate 3?
Well, the data comes from reports that medical device manufacturers file with the FDA whenever a patient dies or suffers a serious injury, or there's a malfunction with the medical device that could cause a death or a serious injury. By law, manufacturers are required to report these events to the FDA and, to the best of their abilities, to identify the links between the adverse event and the medical device. And they're all posted online on a database that the FDA manages. It's called the Manufacturer and User Facility Device Experience. Everyone calls it MAUD. So
easier.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you find out about the HeartMate 3? How many reports have been made about this mechanical heart pump?
Well, there have been thousands of reports about this specific device. That includes injuries, malfunctions, and patient deaths. And we focused on patient deaths because, we were a little taken aback by the high number of them since its approval, which is more than 4,500 to date. And we wanted to understand how consumers, especially prospective patients who are considering getting this device, or their families, ought to approach the device in terms of its safety risks and how much the FDA's database could really reveal to consumers what the potential risks are. So that's how we started.
But this HeartMate 3, Daniel, as I understand it, is intended for folks who otherwise would be facing their own imminent demise, a heart failure itself. So how are you able to take this information of these 4,500 reports that have been made to the FDA saying that this heart pump, HeartMate 3, may have contributed to a patient's death? How do you take a look at that data and figure out, why patients are dying?
Well, it's not easy, yeah. Lee, and to be honest, there is no the MAUD is not a what they call an epidemiological tool where you can use it as definitive evidence that a device caused a death. What it really is intended for is to give the FDA and manufacturers and potentially hospitals and doctors a signal, if you will, if they see trends in certain events occurring that might signal that there is a problem with the device. And I can't say that that is what we found with the HeartMate 3. What we really found is that there are a large number of deaths that don't have a good reported in this database, that don't have a good explanation, that don't really reveal to patients what went wrong, and that doesn't really provide consumers with the sort of information that they would need to make a sort of a decision, if you will, a well-informed decision. It's not like the FDA's approval of prescription drugs. They will provide concise information about clinical trial findings and that sort of thing, but they don't do that for medical devices.
We're talking about a recent investigation into an FDA-approved heart pump with Daniel Chang, correspondent for KFF Health News. And one of the stories you detail, Daniel, is of Wisconsin farmer Arvid Herman. In June of 2019, he received a HeartMate 3 pump following a diagnosis of advanced heart failure. Herman died 1 month later. In 2020, his daughter filed a lawsuit against the heart pumps manufacturer, saying he died because of complications from this HeartMate 3 device. So how is this heart pumps manufacturer responding to the alleged danger of these heart pumps, Daniel?
Well, in that specific case, Lee, the manufacturer, it's called Thoratec Corporation. They're in California. They denied liability, but they have settled that lawsuit with Arvid Herman's daughter. And what she was alleging was that, there was no way for Arvid Herman or his family or caretakers to anticipate what occurred, which was that they're alleging there was a malfunction with the device. It's hard to describe over the air, but essentially what happens is that the surgeon carves a hole into the left ventricle chamber of the heart and inserts a base, and then you screw the rest of the pump on, right? You sort of twist it and lock it. But in this case, they're alleging that the lock malfunctioned and it didn't seal. And when the surgeon turned on the pump to begin pumping blood through Mr. Herman's body, it drew in air that caused air bubbles to enter into his heart and travel up to his brain and cause multiple strokes that caused severe brain injury and multi-organ failure. And strangely enough, Mr. Herman's incident was written about in a medical journal that is really for heart surgeons, transplant surgeons. It's called the Journal of Heart and Lung Transplantation. The surgeon got this at the Mayo Clinic, by the way, in Rochester, Minnesota. And the surgeon wrote a article describing what had happened and recommending to other surgeons steps that they could take to prevent such an event from occurring in the operating room without their knowledge or taking them by surprise, as it appears it did for him. And it was also reported in MOD. So I think part of what the story wants to emphasize to readers is that we have these surveillance systems, right? Mm-hmm. We have MOD, the FDA has other systems where people voluntarily report problems with medical devices. You even have a surgeon who wrote about it in a medical journal to inform his peers. And yet the same thing or a very similar event happened 2 years later in Texas to Ramon Flores Sr., also an end-stage heart failure patient. Went to get a HeartMate 3, and in the course of the surgery, the surgeon discovered that the device wasn't locking properly, and the same thing happened. Air bubbles got into his heart and traveled up to his brain and caused multiple strokes and organ failure.
But this is, as I understand it, and as you write, Daniel, the only FDA-approved device for this sort of specific imminent heart failure. What does the Food and Drug Administration have to say about their approval? Is there any indication they'd revisit the effectiveness of the HeartMate 3?
Well, the Food and Drug Administration says it still stands behind this device, and that's correct. What you said, that this is the only FDA-approved implantable durable device that you can carry inside of you for long term. There are other devices that will pump blood through your body for you while you're in the hospital. They're large machines and you can't walk around with them, if you will. So, and realizing that, the FDA is willing to accept a little bit more risk because this is a life-saving device. You know, if this were a product for, I don't know, growing hair, they would not accept this number of deaths. But given that, you know, so many of the patients who get these are already at an advanced stage of heart failure, and they have little other option, the FDA is willing to accept more risk, but not a risk that they wouldn't be able to communicate clearly to patients and to doctors, which is what former FDA officials told us. So the FDA stands behind the device, whether or not they're looking more into this, Lee. The FDA says they're constantly looking at data about not just this device, but other devices. And by that, I mean journal articles, such as the one that surgeon who worked on Mr. Herman wrote, and other. There's a registry out there that the Society of Thoracic Surgeons manages that also has a lot of data, but it's proprietary. It's not really available to the public, that the FDA will also look at their annual reports to try to assess the safety and the number of adverse events that can occur with this device.
Daniel Tsang is a correspondent for KFF Health News, and we are looking at the effectiveness of this HeartMate 3, the only FDA-approved mechanical heart pump device of its kind for this specific imminent heart failure, intended for people who are facing otherwise death. And this, but in the from the FDA itself, there have been, since 2018, 4,500 patient deaths to date. And our guest, Daniel Tsang, has looked into those numbers and detailed them for us in KFF Health News. If you have questions about this HeartMate 3 or the FDA's approval of it, or your experience as a heart patient yourself, you're welcome here. 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest this morning is Daniel Tsang from KFF Health News. He's been looking into the available data on a mechanical heart pump known as the HeartMate 3. Of its kind, it is the only FDA-approved device currently available intended to extend the lives of those facing certain heart failure otherwise. So how well does this work? And why is it that it's such a challenge to answer this question? We invite you to the conversation at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Daniel Tsang, our guest from KFF Health News. And Daniel, let me ask you, why are there no alternatives on the market to this HeartMate 3?
Well, Lee, there used to be an alternative up until June of 2021. It was called the HeartWare, and it's a heart pump very similar to the HeartMate 3. It was made by a different company called Medtronic. And what occurred was that after a number of years on the market, as Medtronic followed patients with it, they discovered that the device had a higher than accepted incidence of stroke, and also that it would if turned off, it would, sometimes it would have trouble starting back up, which clearly could be fatal to a patient who depends on it to pump blood through their bodies. So in June of 2021, Medtronic removed that that device from the market and left HeartMate 3 as the only LVAD of its kind. It's called a left ventricular assist device that's FDA approved on the market. And I just wanted to add a small bit of context, Lee, which is that, you know, for patients with end-stage heart failure, the only other option besides one of these is a heart transplant. But many individuals are either too old or they're, you know, they have other conditions that disqualify them from a heart transplant. And then this becomes the only option if they want to live beyond the estimated year or so that they may have. So some patients do get this device while they're waiting for a heart transplant, but the majority of patients these days are getting them as a long-term durable device, which means that they'll carry it with them for the rest of their lives.
Daniel, the Food and Drug Administration has expressed their support for this HeartMate 3 as recently as this past August. Tell me a little bit about the relationship between the FDA and the manufacturer of this HeartMate 3 and how the FDA goes about overseeing the manufacturing plant and the grounds where these devices are being built.
Sure. So the FDA conducts site inspections of the manufacturing plants and other related facilities. I would say it looked like they've done it about every 2 years or so. And they visit on site. They meet with the folks who are in charge. They tour the facilities. They review records that the companies, the manufacturers have on trends of complaints that they receive from hospitals and doctors or patients about the device, adverse events that are reported to them about the device. And the FDA looks at all of that data and also the calculations that the manufacturer makes in terms of trends of particular types of adverse events that they may see occurring. From the records that we receive from the FDA of the inspections, it looks like a very thorough inspection.
We're talking about a recent investigation into an FDA-approved heart pump with Daniel Chang, correspondent for KFF Health News. And is there a bigger picture here about the Food and Drug Administration and all that it has to oversee, regulate, and control, Daniel, as you see it?
Well, I think the bigger picture here, Lee, to me, the takeaway is that there has to be a better way to communicate to patients, especially those who are considering this device, their doctors and surgeons, what the risks are with a device like this. You know, the manufacturer publishes a instructions for use manual, which is somewhere around 600 pages long. And in it, it includes a list of adverse events that could occur. And it does include stroke and other events, including death. But there are details to what occurs. For instance, the strokes that occurred in the case of Mr. Herman and Mr. Flores in Texas, there is no mention that a malfunction with the locking mechanism could lead to air embolism, strokes, and organ failure and death. The other thing I think is that similar to the way that the FDA provides information to consumers about clinical trials for prescription drugs, there could be a way for the FDA to provide more that type of information on medical devices, particularly what they call class 3 medical devices, which is the most rigorous kind. It requires a more lengthy approval process, data reporting, and other sort of evidence that this device is safe and effective. Other devices, including artificial hip replacements and knee replacements, those don't require the same rigorous level of investigation and approval that these types of devices do. So it just seems like especially the MAUDE database could present to consumers and their doctors the risks in a more clear way. And I think there are other sort of limitations, if you will, to this database, which is that manufacturers are investigating themselves. And I think it's always a problem when institutions or organizations investigate themselves. And you notice in the MAUDE reports that there's a lot of boilerplate language that seems like it's been copied and pasted and from other reports. Many of these reports read very similar, and that's part of the difficulty in trying to discern what happened in this case and could it happen to me.
Daniel, you use the FDA's database on medical device incidents for your story, but there is other data out there, as you explain. The Society of Thoracic Surgeons manages long-term data on the HeartMate 3. How come we haven't seen it?
Well, it's a proprietary database that it's called Intermax, and it was created specifically for these types of mechanical devices that help people with heart failure, not just left ventricular assist devices, but others. And, you know, it's accessed by the researchers who put together this database. Manufacturers and hospitals contribute their data to it. But the Society of Thoracic Surgeons hasn't really created a tool yet that would make it accessible to the public. And they said they're working on that, but it's probably going to be another year or so. And so by example, for instance, there are other heart surgery procedures that the Society of Thoracic Surgeons does provide data for, such as coronary artery bypass graft surgeries, which are somewhat common. And as a patient, you can go to their website and see what are the outcomes at different hospitals and surgical centers. You can't do that with the HeartMate 3 yet. And part of the difficulty is the politics of this, which is that no hospital or doctor wants to be singled out as having the worst outcome.
Sure.
You know, they're very sensitive to this. And you have to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples. And so I think that the best use of that data that the Society of Thoracic Surgeons has is to identify low-performing centers that have high rates of either patient deaths or pump replacements. Oftentimes, if a surgery goes wrong or something isn't working right with the pump, it has to be replaced. And to identify those centers where they have high rates of these adverse events and to figure out what's going wrong and to get them up to a standard that that would be acceptable for patients.
Daniel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Daniel Chang is a correspondent for KFF Health News, took a look at the FDA data on the HeartMate 3, the only medical device of its kind approved by the FDA for the specific use of the left ventricular. It was the left ventricular. I know I remembered this. Assist device, LVAD, the HeartMate 3. When we continue, we take a look at the latest polling of gun owners across Wisconsin to find out what they have to say with our guest, John Dietrich, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.